Blog Talk Radio.
One tribe, one time, one planet, one race. It's all one blood, don't care about your face, color of your eye or the tone of your skin. Don't care where you are, don't care where you been. Cause where we gonna go is where we wanna be. The place where the native language is unity, and the continent is called Pangea, and the main ideas are connected like a sphere. No propaganda to try to upper hand us, cause man, I'm loving this peace. Man, I'm loving this peace. Man, I'm loving this peace. I don't need no leader that's gonna force feed her. Concept to make me think I need her. Fear my brother and fear my sister and shoot my neighbor with my big missile. If I had an enemy, if I had an enemy, if I had an enemy, then my enemy's gonna try to come and kill me, cause I'm his enemy. There's one tribe, y'all. We one tribe, y'all. We one tribe, y'all. We are one people. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they seizure. Let's cast amnesia. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they seizure. Remember that we want people. We all want people. Want people. Want people. Want people. One tribe, one tribe, one tribe, one time, one planet, one race, one love, one people, one. Too many things that's causing one to forget about the main cause, connecting, uniting. But the evil is seeding and alive in us, so our weapons are colliding, and our peace is sinking like Poseidon. But we know that the one, the evil one's threatened by the sun, so we come and try to separate the sun. But he dumb, he didn't know we had a war to overcome. Rejuvenating by the beating of the drum, come together by the cycle of the hum. Freedom when all become one, forever. One tribe, y'all. One tribe, one tribe, y'all.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to the One People Show for this week. And what appears to be a really highly anticipated show. And we have high hopes for the information that goes out today and your responses to it. We are going to basically broadcast for you a conversation that myself and Bob and Dee and Heather had what was for me last night, because it's now Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for me. And Heather discussing the tools that are being brought out as we speak that will be launched today, according to Dean Heather, as long as all of their technical difficulties go away. So we're just going to do a very brief hello to everybody on the panel today, and we will get going with this recording. So hi to Chris.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a really, really important show. So to all the One People everywhere, listen closely. We'll be having a discussion after it ends. We'll have time at the end for a discussion, so I really look forward to that. And what can I say? I'm feeling like we're right on the edge of everything.
Speaking of being on the edge, Brian, Kelly?
yeah, back from the Grand Canyon. 8.5 hours on the road, just walked in the door 15 minutes ago, just in time for the show. Magical experience, going to put a lot of pictures up on my blog. Anybody who has never been to the Grand Canyon, I highly recommend it. The energy there is absolutely through the roof. But I'm just really excited that I was able to make it back in time for the show. No one has heard this yet, except for the people that were part of the interview. So I will be doing my best to try to stay conscious. But I'm excited. It's just lots of signposts showing that it's going to be a very big and interesting week. So happy to be here as usual.
Thank you. And Bobby.
Hey, Lisa. Welcome, everyone. Big show today. If this is the show, everybody have their notepads and pencils handy. Pay
Indeed.
Attention. A lot of critical information coming out.
Will there be a test afterwards?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, the recording goes The recording goes for over an hour. It's an hour and 22 minutes, so it will take up the majority of the show. There'll be time afterwards for a quick discussion. So fingers crossed there are no technical difficulties and it plays the whole recording for us. So I'm press and play, people.
Hi, everyone, and happy Monday. This is Dee, and I have with me the lovely Heather. And we have Lisa Harrison and Bob Wright with us. And we're going to sit down right now and do this conversation and explain everything from the beginning to the end. Right, Heather?
No pressure.
No pressure. Everything from the beginning to the end. As we were just saying that the article that I wrote on Saturday went viral over Facebook and various media sites. We're going to be seeing a lot of people hearing this radio interview and not really having any basic background. They'll be hearing this fresh and new. So we're going to start off with a quick review of the value system and who has the value, what is the value, and the lies that have been perpetrated on everyone on this, I'd say planet, but it goes beyond that, as to what value actually is. So let's start from the beginning. Heather, darling. We are the value.
Yes. What we have here is essentially we went in and the banking system, as everyone has seen in different news, different media, they've had some problems. In 2008, you saw a lot of bubbles and everything else, and just nothing moved. No money moved, because that's what everyone was told was the value, was the money. Currencies, paper, gold, silver. And really, they shied away from the gold and the silver and really tried to have people focus on the paper and the coins. So essentially, what has happened is that there was a public trust, and it was at one time called the One People's Public Trust, which was a tool that was used to be able to go in and grab everyone's value and return it to them near simultaneous to the grab. And essentially, the only thing that they could take was the title and ownership, but through deceptive acts and practices and fraud. And so it all boils down to banking. Banking is the one thing that crosses all borders, whether perceived planetary, perceived universal, and this, what some call the slavery system, was actually much greater than what everyone saw or had experienced. So that's really the cap of what occurred up to this point, was that a few of us who knew the system and knew people within the systems, everyone worked together in a collaborative effort, some quite anonymously, some with certain amounts of deniability, but everyone worked very hard to bring this to a close. So what happened was basically everything runs on commercial, it's what is called the commercial registry, uniform commercial codes in the U.S. However, all the banks, all the central banks, each country actually is a corporation operating under the guise of the people's governments from any nation that you can think of. And those from removing the shackles, American Kabuki, Kalapele, Brian, Lisa, Bob, Chris, everyone brought that to light, was able to actually show people the documentation and where to go on these purported government sites to actually grab the corporate registries.
And we will publish, actually, I'll go backtrack through all of the papers, and we will publish all the links again so that people can go back and refer to the links where all this information is found.
So basically, I started with that public trust in March 6th of 2011. And from there, and I can only speak to the experience that I had. It's been a wild ride. And there have been a lot of banker resignations. There have been whole governments that purported governments that have resigned after lunch, and lots of ministry officials, lots of arrests. So you can actually see the movement. If someone were to put all those dots in one place where you could actually see them, you would see the effects. And so that's the trust tool was a huge tool. And then it was reconciled into what is, which is essentially every being on the planet and actually every embodiment in the universe is value. They are eternal essence. I don't get into the religions because those are basically for me, from my knowledge base and experience in bank trade and finance, are just tools that were used for harvesting and management, control management of the actual value and their assets, is that every being is the value. So eternal essence, there, some people call it a soul, but it really is about energetics. Everything is about energetics. So all of that value was returned, title, ownership, full custody. It never left the embodiments, but it's sort of like a house. If you steal a house, you either go in and possess it, but it's always there. You don't move it, or you steal it by title and paper, essentially, which is what all the banks have been doing.
So let's go back and just a quick review again for people who are brand new to this.
Okay.
We talk about the value.
Right.
So the people being the value is a very literal thing. If you want to know a little more about this, I want you to go out and Google straw man and your straw man account. The value is apparent in all the things that the banks and the purported governments have done, such as everything that you've pretty much done in your life, there's been a bond placed on you. And they are making millions, if not billions of dollars off your value. You have no access to it. They lie to you continuously and tell you that you don't have any value. But within the system, they're trading your value every minute of every day.
So just to interject for a second, this is Lisa. They hid the whole concept that you are the value behind this straw man, the corporation version of you that they created, and through the account that they created in that name. And like you just used as the house analogy, they just went in and stole it through paper because they haven't inhabited you, they haven't possessed you as such, they've just possessed and stolen the paper version of you. And that's what the One People's Public Trust gave back.
Right. On July 25th of 2012, last year, everything that was on a commercial registry, everything operates under a commercial registry. Everything is commercial.
Everything.
From the people were put under commercial, the purported courts, the corporations operating under the guise of governments were all corporate. Everything is corporate. And so everything to your religions, your schools, your hospitals, and actually a number of hospitals have their own banks. A lot of universities are heavy into the financial area as well, finance companies. Here's what I can tell you is that the approach that we took, whether it was the public trust, there were many before us, but the ones that actually went in to close everything, all the purported systems down so that what is could actually operate absent limit was Caleb Skinner, Randall Hollis, Hollis Randall Hillner, and then myself. And through the
Heather Antucci Giraffe.
And through our various backgrounds and experiences, like Caleb's, he's got a successful company that's a code, does a lot of code writing, program writing. He works in a lot of different areas because that's also another sector that has no borders. And then Randall's older than Caleb and I, so he was around during many different movements and has been in the bank trade and finance in some fashion or form. And so with all of that basic knowledge, we were able to go in, and mine is legal, law, bank trade and finance, and contracts, which everything is a contract. Every event in your life is a contract. Whether you know it or not, they get basically a contract or an agreement. You are, the way that the system, as Dee had said, is basically they take your eternal essence from birth, because your body is just your vehicle that your eternal essence operates through. And what it operates is actually energy. And energy is the value system.
Paper and gold, oil, silver, whatever, Federal Reserve bills, any currency you can name, is just a representation,
right,
of true value. Because the true value is people.
Right, exactly. And so what we, our approach that we took was, number one, just go in and get done the parts that, instead of sitting there and trying to teach everyone how to go do it, we realized it could be done by one, because it's all the same facts, the same scenario, the same system. And once you know the template, they all are uniform. And so that was all closed down. And essentially, all this corporate or representations were canceled for cause, deceptive acts and practices and fraud. And there was a certain way that we did that. And no, we did not use lean mechanism. We actually went in and did a different way. It's all in the paperwork. And we can go over that later. There's been a number of interviews on that. So I'll leave that to the side for now. And essentially what everyone is wanting to know at this moment is they have all this value in them. Nothing's ever been taken from them, but it has been. It's been taken by title, by paper,
by control
and process, and through management. If you look at where they've invested all of their time, their money, their efforts, their energy, it's in controlling the population, the public.
Through media, religion, government,
schools,
hospitals, prisons, and they put bonds on you in pretty much every single one of those institutions.
Well, the way that they go in, and from the moment that the body is created, because that's actually the notice of eternal essence, in body. People say embodiments. I say in body, embodiment. And that's when the eternal essence, the soul, whatever you would like to call it, goes in. And really, it's about that particular soul or eternal essence being able to use the energy and manifest and create. And that is the value. So what they do is they go in and basically the birth certificate is one example where they go in and they take over the body. And here you think you're just registering yourself so people know that you actually are a human being, a live body. And that's all sent off to the World Bank and IMF. And from there, everything goes in. Everything you do actually under, you're a corporation operating under the guise of human. And then your account at the central banks is charged basically for everything. And all the systems, that's where all the courts, purported courts, send all their paperwork is up to the central banks. And they get credits for every transaction and contract that they do.
Every person who goes to jail?
It's by consent. No one goes to jail without their consent.
So everything...
This is the reason why...
Go on, Bob.
No, sorry. This is the reason why if you ever were pulled over by a traffic cop, and they wanted to give you a ticket, they'll almost, or quite often, will threaten you with arrest if you don't sign that ticket. They really, really, at least in this country, they will emphasize you need to sign this ticket.
Well, and that's fine, Bob. You know, here's the thing. There's a lot of contracts that people aren't made aware of. And so a contract is where you know the material facts. There's certain elements to a contract in order to have a binding contract. And then there's agreements, which legally and factually, conceptually, are different. So agreements, you don't have to disclose everything. If you can get their consent, and it's an unknowing, unwilling, and unintentional consent, it's still an agreement. And it's really about asking the right questions. So the best thing to do is if someone comes up to you, Bob, with a contract that has a signature that says Bob Wright, but you know you didn't sign it and you don't even know this person, what would you say to them?
Well,
if they try to enforce it,
you'd say, show me the damn signature.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, show me the signature. That's not me.
Right. And I didn't sign that, whatever it may be. So here's the thing. If anyone makes you sign anything, just your signature is whatever you want to make of it. Okay. It could be an X. It could be a thumbprint. It could be a squiggly. It could be actually Bob Wright. Okay. For me, what I do is in law, okay, and then in legal systems, because there's a difference between law and legal systems.
Big difference.
All right. So what happens is when I go to sign something, my signature, because your signature is anything you intend to represent you. My signature is without prejudice, Heather and Tutu Giraffe. And I do that because I don't know what contracts or agreements, what kind of dealings have been done. So when I sign something, I'm just signing, yeah, sure, you need this piece of paper, okay, but I'm doing it without prejudice, which means I can't be harmed, damaged, or prejudiced or held to a binding contract that I have never seen and don't know all the facts to. That's what without prejudice means. So I've had my husband, in fact, was in a situation where just out of the blue, all these cops show up and he's in Spain. And Spain happens to not think that it's part of the European Union. It's Spain. It's España.
At least in that town, anyway.
In that town. And so, you know, they were like, you have to sign this. Same kind of attitude that Bob, you were just illuminating to with
the traffic police.
You know, they were like, you have to sign this. You have to sign this. And they were getting really aggressive, really pushy. My husband's not small. He's 6'4". And no, he's not Ethiopian. He's actually Moroccan. And he was like, I will sign anything you put in front of me. And then when he went to go sign, he signed without prejudice and his name. And they flipped out. And all the way from the cops to the lawyers, to the magistrates, to the judges, were flipping out that he signed without prejudice. And he was very respectful and said, no problem. You put anything before me, I'll go ahead and sign it. But that's what he signed with. And they were all flustered and frustrated, but there was nothing they could do.
Didn't he tell them to Google it?
Yeah, because he kept saying he, you know, wanted to talk to his embassy. And they were like, you can't. You have no rights. You're not Spanish. And he was like, you are part of the European Union, right? Because I am Italian. I am part of the European Union. He goes, we're not. We are España. And so they told him to Google things. And so when they told him, what's this without prejudice? And he was like, Google it. So, yeah, it was quite an interesting story. But here's the point. The point is you are the value. That's what being, when we talk about being and doing, which is a lot of, you know, it's just really simple, really basic. I use those words be and do because those are simple.
I just want to backtrack for a second because you said you were talking about the accounts and how everything you do, they just take out of those accounts. So when we say prepaid, pre-approved, and pre-authorized, essentially that is it's a correct, accurate statement in that everything we choose to do, everything we desire to do, everything we need is already prepaid and pre-approved and pre-authorized.
Yep. Right. Well, that's why it's so important, the be and the do. That's just a very simple statement. The point is, if you be and do, especially after what the OP, the what was referred to as the OPPT, the People's Trust, went in and returned everything to everyone, anytime you be and do, it is now yours. There's no corporate or hidden representation that they can actually charge to because you're full custodian. You're the sole custodian of your body, which is your vehicle, and your being, which is your eternal essence, and that is where the value is.
Okay, so now let's get into the meat of what everyone wants to talk about now. How do we, as beings, access our value?
Okay.
So let's go, let's get right into it.
Okay. So first off, the value has always been in you. It's just been a matter of what hasn't been told, what hasn't been transparent is, number one, what the value is. And now that you all know where the value is, and it lawfully and legally has been returned, is that you've always been able to access it. So right now, it's a matter of people you can either give them a fish for a day or you can teach them how to fish. And really, this is just reminding you how to fish, because everything that's about to be said has always been, which is why they really don't want people to be focused on knowing themselves or going within and using their tools of resonance. They need you distracted so you don't think about this stuff. And so when you go in to access your value, what is very important is to know this. The tools that are in the quote-unquote financial system are the tools, they're representations. They're usually a written or a physical representation of the energetics. Okay, so the financial system, as far as the tools and the mechanisms, are beautiful. And they are very correct, because they needed to use the correct tools in order to transfer and use. The problem was they commandeered and stole things that weren't theirs. And when I say they, I'm not talking about the purported, the corporations operating under the guise of government. Okay, I'm talking about those who actually use those tools in order to commandeer. Normally people know them as the 13 families, and even within the 13 families, there are many that were trying and have assisted in making sure this all comes out. So I'd really like to point that out. And there are a lot of people within those systems, agents, and beneficiaries that also have been working to make sure all this comes out. So, the tools. Typically, people are very familiar with the bond. Okay? A check. You know, the checks that you write to your grocer, or that you write for your gas, or that you write for the school, or
rent or
whatever. Checks are a bond. It's actually a bill of exchange. Okay? And I don't like the word bond, because bond is bondage.
Yep.
Okay? In the value system, what they did was they took a part of the value system, put it into a vacuum. And it happens in when it's in the value system in its whole, it actually is the enforcement and accountability, self-accountability feature of the value system. When you separate it, it ends up creating a debt system, which is what people today know as the financial system. So it looks like there's limited resources. It looks like there's not enough.
And that each person has no value.
And each person is not the value. They actually have to borrow the value. Okay. That's a huge part. And so what I have focused on with Caleb and Randall throughout this entire time was not to just give a fish. And if something happens to the person teaching how to get a fish, everyone's kind of screwed. So really it's about everyone knowing all the data so that they can be creative. Since it is their value, it is their body, their vehicle that they're doing this. And I love all the DNA conversations and the Supreme Court in the U.S. went in and dealt with this too. DNA is just a part of your vehicle, right? It's a part of your body. And G.W. Hardin brought up it's not just DNA. You hear RNA. You hear all these acronyms, junk DNA. That's going to be an interesting revelation here very, very shortly of what that actually all is. But what I can say is this. The tools are still the same as far as accessing. But I don't like the word bond. It is an instrument. Okay? Like the public trust, when we went in to test the different mechanisms on how to do, you know, return everything to everyone, there was an acceptance performance bond. And that's a bondage, right? It's a voluntary commercial indenture. You're agreeing to be a commercial servant for whatever period of time, for whatever the term and conditions are. So instead, what I would like to do, and this is what I've been working on for release for today, which will be released today, is giving everyone the data of the value system, the whole. And you'll be able to recognize the part that was the financial system, and I'm actually breaking it down so you can see how they actually made physical representations of the energetics and didn't tell you about the energetics and the whole value system. And then also the tools and the instruments, you'll see how value actually works, which is value for value. And you'll also be able to see the different tools, because if you know what the actual value system is, you know how the value for value works. Like currencies, for instance, as an example, they'll say, oh, it's, for instance, in Morocco, it's something like 8.5 dirham per dollar or 8.2 dirham per euro, right? That's a value exchange. Well, value for value is one-to-one unit. Doesn't matter what the units are because they're all representations of energy. So everything's actually standard across the board. I don't care what representation one chooses to use as long as it's mutually acceptable. So it doesn't matter if there are these current systems. What I would like to do is show you the bond that we actually put together for the slavery system actually to use within it, because at the time
it was still standing.
It was still standing. And those that choose that they want to, you know, let other people take their value, that's the tool they can actually go in and use. And you can see the evolution of to where we are now, where it's basically I, which is the eternal essence. Everyone is eternal essence and everyone controls their value and their body. And then you can see the evolution of how that bond really is just an instrument. It's a transmitting utility or a transmitting vehicle of the energy, of the value that you're going to transfer. Now, it could be in the form of a Federal Reserve note. It could be the form of a yen, a Swiss franc. It could be in the form
of silver, gold.
Right. It could be in the form of a service. Value comes in many, many different forms. It could just be a straight energetic exchange as well, right? Energy. And that way, people can make an informed choice of how they want to operate their value, operate their vehicles, and actually create and manifest and co-create and co-manifest. So that was the approach, and I just want to make sure everyone knew it was about giving them the knowledge, the actual information, because in bank, trade, and finance, knowledge is the currency. The paper and the coins and the natural resources are not. Okay? Those are just the booty, if you will, from the knowledge. Okay? And so that's what the documents will be. And then once you know the value system, you know what kind of documents you need to have in place. If you think about it, when you go to do a credit card application, for instance, that's a declaration. And it says, I declare that the foregoing is true and correct. Okay, so the application is actually the underwriting for a piece of plastic that shows up at your door. And then the acceptance of the contract or the agreement, really, because they don't tell you all the material facts, it's actually an agreement, is you using that piece of plastic. And you're bound every time you use that piece of plastic. So you have multiple contracts going on every time that you use that piece of plastic. Your signature is actually the signature on the contract. Okay, so what I wanted to make sure was that everyone had the basic tools. And really, it is just declarations. And then it's also deposits. If there's two representations of eternal essence, which they've been using, which is business and bank, every embodiment is their own bank. And the way the value system works, it's not just planetary, it's universal, actually. Everyone has experience with just the planetary. And then what happens is BIS was the main one. That would actually take things universal. And so a lot of information is going to be coming out about that as well. So we have Caleb who went in and basically created the programming and the coding so that tools that we use today that we know as harvesting tools, such as Skype, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, mm-hmm. All of these give you free accounts. But what people don't know is all your data is being sold. So they're making quite a bit of money on your data. Even though you have a free account, you're using all this, they're selling it over. It's like your medical records. When you go in and you are with a doctor, then basically if you read the actual paperwork, you'll see where you give them permission to sell your medical records, sell your data, sell your information. And they make quite a bit of money. They get a lot of stipends from corporations, from Big Pharma. And all that data is yours. So Caleb went in and he calls it the VEX protocols. One is you own your own data. Two is if your data is out in the public, it's always encrypted. And three is that if it's not in your control, then there's an accommodation agreement or contract in place, meaning you give them terms and conditions of how they can use your data. So really, you now have just made, took all those deceptive acts and practices which make you revenue streams you don't know about off of you and your data and your value, and they're now yours. And you get to choose who you want to share your information. If you want those revenue streams, you give your revenue streams. But the point was taking that, giving you the key to your own account, which usually, you know, those harvesting tools I just spoke of, keep them. And that way they can give the information. And usually corporations operating under the guise of governments would come in, and even corporations, straight corporations, would come in and do warrants for your information on your cell phone server carrier, your cell phone provider, your internet provider. They go in and they serve these warrants, and you have no idea that they've gone in and actually asked for your data and your information. And so it was funny because there was that big disclosure about NSA using all of those particular harvesting tools that I've named and going in and getting your data. Well, Project 13, which is what Caleb created, was a way for them to do it right. Instead of going to a place where there's possibly millions of accounts and embodiments sitting there and just grabbing up, you know, batches or bulk, they actually now have to go to each person and let them know, hey, I want your data. And then you sit and you're responsible for going in and being competent.
And negotiating the price.
Yeah, negotiating the price or saying, you know, what's this for? You know, just asking the questions. And so I loved the concept of everyone being in charge of their own value. You are your own bank. You run your own body, your own business, and you need to be responsible for it. So you need the system to be able to do that. So it was really important to also have the law be what it is. And that's why that last UCC filing, which reconciled all of the commercial registries so that they no longer exist, they may still have them up and operating, yet at the same time, nothing that goes in there is valid at this point. It hasn't been for a while.
So nothing that goes in there is harvestable, in other words.
No. It's the same as when you write without prejudice and my name, that's my signature. And just because they asked me to sign the document doesn't mean I'm a party to their hidden contracts. Unless it is discoverable and unless it's actually disclosed to you, how can you be a party to it? So even if they still are filing things, if they are to about you, Lisa, for instance, you're not held accountable for it. You're not held responsible for it because they're not disclosing it to you and you're not signing on it.
Henceforth, it's not a contract.
Right. Okay, so these tools, what I wanted to do and what I've done is actually disclose the value system, how it actually works, and then also show you how they took a part of it and made it what is the past financial system so that you know the difference. And you can make an informed choice because if you still want to operate in that way, great. They don't have anything to pay you with at this point unless they bring, you know, continue a Ponzi scheme and bring others in and then use their value to pay you so it looks like they actually have something. Or you're going to have that bond, for instance, that tool, that main operating tool.
Call it a template.
Well, it was the template that we used that we were going to use prior to taking everything to I. Even before fathoming, you know, and going, following the trail back to I, back to prime, back to zero point. And so I would like everyone to see that because I want everyone, it's about absolute data, not one piece missing. They need to see the difference. If they want to work in a compartmentalized financial system that is a debt-driven system, or if they want to work in the value system, which is the absolute energetics, and they actually now can work universal at that point, not just planetary, but universal. And then how see the tools and how they actually work, how they create their bank, how they create their business, and then how they actually do the transactions and transfer the energies. Those documents are what will be released tonight along with the value system data.
And then you can go in, whether it's Project 13, for instance, that you choose to actually do your banking and your business transactions where you actually own your own key to your own account, which Caleb's, I think it's an ASA or some kind of a key where the data goes on a server for 3 days so that people can actually receive it. And then he's actually making it so that it's an RSA key, which means nobody sees it at any moment, just the people you send it to, who you choose. Okay?
And it's encrypted with a huge mega encryption process.
Right. And so you can use Project 13, but I also want to make sure that it's not limited. Everyone should be able to play, and you should be able to make your own choice of who you want to play with.
Yep.
So if you want to walk into a bank or you want to walk into any purported government, corporation operating under the guise of government, I should say, or corporation, you should be able to know how it all works so that you can walk in knowingly, willingly, intentionally, and say, I would like to play with you under these terms and conditions, and then negotiate from there if you choose, or just start to play, but have the same tools so they're all uniform. So you can walk into a bank, and let's say you do a declaration of deposit, which is just basically a declaration of value, which was all OPPT, the tool, went in and recovered basically, or set a limit, set an amount, I should say, at $10 billion. It was $5 billion for every embodiment, and then $5 billion extra for anyone who declares they're damaged by the systems. And yet, that's only a fraction of what they actually took, but that was enough to go in and be able to stop the systems from flowing illegally and unlawfully, and allowing everyone the chance to breathe and get caught up with what the heck has been going on. So there is that to start with, but there's actually more. And if that's what you choose, then basically you just make a declaration of what it is. And then they would have to rebut it.
Yeah. I, John Doe, would like to deposit in your bank
$1
million of my value.
Well, not $1 million, but 1 million
units.
1
million units, sorry.
Because the dollar, the yen, any kind of those current, what they call current funds, and I love the word current because it's really about energy, right? Current funds.
Exactly.
And so if you go in, I want to make sure that people have the choice of where they, what systems they want to use. So the tools need to be uniform across the board, and we need to use the value system they are. Even in the financial system, those tools are the same tools. It's just that you're declaring and they have to rebut it.
So let's talk practicalities just for a second, and because you know that's what I do.
Practical. Nice wording.
Nice wording? I've been warned, so I know. So the education in terms of how the system works and where the value is, That's here now, and it's more is coming. The uniform paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for myself, what I see is certainly the people who have been following this whole process for the last 6 months are very, very excited about moving directly into the IUV exchange or
Right. Inchange,
whatever we're calling it now. And
Inchange. The IUV in change.
But there is, that's an education process that is going to start now as well. I mean, getting everybody, getting the word out, getting everyone from manufacturers and distributors and retailers and all of these other people to understand that there is a, what can be seen as a new currency in the system. And jumping on board with that. So the interim step here is very likely to be people going to the banks with these pieces of paper and offering to deposit some of their units of value into their bank. Minimal amounts, I would think, hopefully at first. Just enough to, you know, basically see you between here and, you know, the IUV being up and running completely. But practically, what is the step? You walk in, you make that offer, and what, give them 72 hours to rebut?
Well, Len, how about I do this, Lisa? How about I actually walk it through as I would do it?
Absolutely, that'd be great.
So essentially, I'm going to use Project 13 because what most people don't know yet is Project 13 is actually the first that I know of entity or representation that's sitting in the governing law. So Caleb, the companies that he actually is running Project 13 through are representations of him. And so those are also in I. And that's what people would usually refer to as a corporation. So, for instance, I'm going to give you an example of how I would do my IUV in change on Project 13, as well as my IUV in change with tools of the former systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So on Project 13, for instance, I go in and I create an account with Project 13. And then what I do is I do a declaration of representation saying I'm creating whatever representation name you want to use. I can either use Heather Antucci Giraffe. I can use BBC Corporation. I can use whatever it is as long as I declare what it is. And I put that declaration of representation so everyone knows it's there, it's established, and I'm responsible for it. I'm responsible for it with my full personal liability and responsibility for anything and everything that particular representation does, because it's really just me doing. And that way I can communicate with any of the old tools that still may be up and running and still haven't made that switch, so it's a bridge.
Okay.
Okay? So then I would also do a declaration of representation for a bank. And I can call it whatever I want. Again, Heather Antucci Giraffe, you know, bank is whatever. but I do a declaration of representation so everyone knows that that is a representation of me. I'm fully responsible and liable for anything and everything that bank does because it is me.
In full transparency.
In full transparency. And I post that on my Project 13 as well. And then what I do is I go in, and for each of those, because you got to have some value in there to actually do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because just as you have value in you and your body's the vehicle, well, your bank and your representations, which we've discussed as a bank and a business, are just representations of you, so you need to deposit some value in there. So you do a declaration of deposit, a value deposit, and then you choose whatever amount of value you want. Now, this is all energetics, okay, but these documents are the written representation of those energetics, and it's what we call in bank, trade, and finance, the underwriting. And it's very similar to when you go in, same way you actually create a brick and a mortar and brick bank. You first establish it, you go in and incorporate it in corp, which is in body.
Yes.
And then you go in and you have to put value or what they call capital into that bank, right? Supposedly.
Right.
And then from there, you can have customers. You can open your door and then you ask them to please bring their value to your bank. Well, in this particular instance, you are the value. Anything that you do in the value system, you draw energetic units behind everything that you do, depending, and it's in various amounts. It's value for value, okay? So what happens is I just declare what value. Now, for those that are not too keen or too comfortable or into the energetics of it yet, the OPVT went in and did that $5 billion and that $5 billion. So really, out of that 10 in gold and silver, because gold and silver actually are just representations. The gold and more will be disclosed about this coming up in various different ways. But gold is actually the representation of the eternal essence, or what some people call the soul. And silver is actually the representation, the physical representation of the body, the vehicle. And more will be said about that.
Yeah, more details will be given on that very soon.
And so everything, that $5 billion and that $5 billion was reserved in gold and silver, or not reserved, but returned in gold and silver, because that's what they all agreed to. Would be payments for debt. Debt would be paid in gold and silver. And one of the most famous places to find that was the purported United States of America, Constitution of the United States of America. And then all the central banks, when they cut their currencies, they have actual dollars sent over by the Federal Reserve. They have FRNs, Federal Reserve Notes, sent over to the Federal Reserve, they deposit into their central banks, and they can cut as much currency for as many Federal Reserve notes as they have. So they all agree to that particular debt shall be paid in gold and silver as well. That was the connection, and that was the lineage between all of the purported or the corporations operating under the guise of government. That's why everyone has the gold and the silver. I want that to be clear. So you can choose. What I would do is I would go in and say, okay, I'm going to make a declaration of value deposit in my bank that I've done a declaration of representation for. And I would say, okay, in this particular declaration of value deposit, I'm putting in $100 million in gold and silver. And that's what's in my bank. Now, I also am subject to audit for any kind of business dealing or dealing that I want to do with anybody else. They have to be able to have access to my records. And we have that in the former systems or have that in the former systems already. That's what your auditors, your accounting firms, your banks would supposedly do, was go in and audit your transactions every year. And supposedly in the U.S., for instance, they had what was called the Internal Revenue Service. And that was supposedly their purpose, their purported purpose, was to go in and make sure that you pay taxes, make sure that you your books were clean and everything else. And there was actually a number of mechanisms for that. Your State Department was another one. And then you have the international equivalents. So really, the systems themselves were beautifully designed, except for the fact that they didn't tell you who the value really was, and that they were commandeering everything. So really, the tools themselves, it's sort of like people say, oh, a gun kills. Well, a gun doesn't kill. It's the people operating the gun that can kill, right? It's the same thing here. These tools are actually great tools if they are done in transparency. If you add transparency to the system and it goes back and is reunited with the value system, those tools actually operate correctly. And you reunite the yin and the yang, and it changes the formula or the harmony of those particular compartmentalized points and the ones that they don't tell you about. Okay, so I would go into Project 15, and that's how I'd handle it. And then from there, any doing I wanted to do through those representations, and remind you, for me right now, those representations are a bridge tool for anything that still appears to be remaining from the former system.
Yeah.
Okay, so that way they can communicate, I can communicate, everyone's happy, and we can still get lots done. Yet everything I do is my intentions. As far as who I choose to play with, who I engage with, usually I'll find someone that's like-minded that wants to make things transparent and create beautiful things for the highest good of all. So,
and we're going to be doing some serious creating. Serious. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Or after.
It'll be on tomorrow's show. The day. Well,
that'll be after.
After this.
The opposite
one.
Of before.
Yeah, it'll be after this one.
We didn't want to get into it right now because we want the focus to be on what we're discussing at this moment, but this week we will be going seriously talking about creating.
Doing the example of creating. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, because it's important that if I won't use these tools, but I'm telling someone to go use them, that's never been the approach that I've ever done, because for me that would be deceptive in itself.
Yep.
So I'd rather go and do this, and it can be an example, just an example, one example, okay, because so many people are much more creative than I am. And so I would really love to experience their creativity. But I will go in and show and do, because I know this, I believe this, and my molecular structure will explode if I don't, go in and actually do this so people can rely upon it. As far as this is something she's chosen to do, she's standing behind it, she's standing within it. And that way, if there's any problems, you'll definitely know, won't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Has been usually the tact we've taken with the OPPT and everything else. So that's how I would do that. And then any transaction that I go to do or play with others, it would be by contract. Here's the express written terms.
Now, for me, it just depends. Like, there's savvy investors or institutional investors in the old systems, and then you have non-institutional investors. Well, that's just a matter of knowledge and database, right?
Yep.
So for me, when I go in to do a contract, depending on the savviness or the commitment of the other person in the energetics, then that depends on how much of a written representation you need of the energetic doing and transfer. And that comes down to a trust issue, what most people would say trust, and all of the former systems, which are the financial systems, which was just a part of the value system, was based on non-trust. And yet it was because there was no transparency.
Yeah.
However, when there's transparency, it's not even a matter of trust at that point.
No,
trust
because
becomes
everything
irrelevant.
Clear.
Everything's
clear.
There
is no question. There is no, I'm sorry to say, there's no lawyers arguing in a courtroom about what the specific word means legally in a contract. Because it's full transparency. It is, everything is laid out clearly in absolute data. So there is no questions.
I hadn't even finished law school yet. And the judge I worked for, Judge Seipel, loved that man. Judge Seipel asked me, what would you like to accomplish? I was like, I would love that nobody would ever need another lawyer ever again. So please help me accomplish my goal.
Yeah, we're right behind
so,
you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I would do Project 13 with my bank, my representations, which I've designated or identified as a bank and a business in order to have that bridge tool between the old tools, why they are closing out, or just redefining themselves to what they really are, which is a representation of eternal essence and the embodiment. And then I would just do my transactions. And then what happens is all the declarations that I've put on my account for Project 13, that's the underwriting. It's the same as a bill of exchange. It's the same as an insurance contract, because if someone needs to collect upon that, everything is digital. Whether you think things are digital or not, I can tell you everything in bank, trade, and finance is digital. The written representations or the physical representations that you have, they're still accounted for digitally, and they actually are tracked digitally. Those are just for your comfort, so that you feel that you have some kind of say over, you know, you have some security that you have cash in your pocket or coin in your pocket, and yet they play with that every day, which is what we saw with the LIBOR scandal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day you have $10 in your pocket, and the next it's not worth $10.
It's worth 10 cents.
10 cents, yeah. So that's how I would do it. And that's how I am going to do it. And these are actually the documents that I'm talking about, these declarations, the underwriting, which is also the physical asset. And originals would be delivered to whoever you're working with. Now, there is a interesting patent, too, actually. One was from Bank of America. The other one was from Visa. Bank of America purportedly, in 2011, filed a patent for regarding the universal value exchange.
Yeah, interesting choice of words.
Right, and you know, I was working with Intel at that time, very closely in 2011, and there was a period of time when there was like no communication. It was through Court Smart, which, you know, they would listen through all the different cases as we were in there and everything else, but basically, that patent was never disclosed. So, you know, could it have been backdated? Yes. Could it have existed and I just didn't know about it? Yes. However, it was very interesting that it was the UV exchange. And that's when I changed everything to IXCHANGE. And now I'm just, you know, I'm having fun with it, but at the same time, really want things to represent what they actually are, which is in change.
Exactly.
You know, not empower, but in power. Not embodiment, but embodiment. There's something energetically that just feels it's taken away when you use the EX or the EM. And so really it's a matter of getting creative. And that's what I really desire and am manifesting for everyone else, is that they can be creative and know that they are safe, know that they are the power and the value to actually be creative. Okay? So all of these documents are what's going to be released tonight, and those actually are the same kind of tools that they use when you go to sign up for a credit card, when you go to sign up for an account at a bank, when you go to sign for a car or a house. These are the same tools. They're all declarations, and the only thing that's different is that you know who the value is, you know where the value is, plus all the underwriting for at least the 5B, 5 billion, and 5 billion were done by OPPT. So I'm going to make sure that on Project 13 there's an account for with all of the former OPPT, all the filings that were done, because that's all the underwriting for at least that 5 billion and that 5 billion. So people can actually point to it. We retired OPPT, we reconciled it to the I. And so energetically, we need to take down the website, but it's all sitting there. All that documentation is still out there, but it's in a transition phase as far as me making sure that the tools are up so everyone has them, they can use them without undue influence, okay? And then I want to make sure that all that's mirrored so that you don't have to have an account on Project 15 to access them. That's very important, is choice.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's...
Freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice. So now let's move to what I am going to do. This is going to be fun. I love this part. So you have these former tools, right? And they appear to still be operating. And you can hear me now and believe me later. Some actually have access to this information and are already calling. So it's a matter of making sure that they can operate. A certain doing is about to be done between Deutsche, which ends up with not such a good situation for HSBC, Wells Fargo. HSBC just took over 51% minimum of ownership of Wells Fargo, Citibank, JP Morgan, and there were a couple others. And so really it's just all HSBC. And yet on the inside, for over the last, since 2009, the insiders have been trying to sell those HSBC branches forever. And then I've been contacted, or we, the public trust, have been contacted 2011, trying to get us to meet with Wells Fargo, HSBC, the Saudis, the Pakistani family was involved that smelters all the gold, trying to get us to meet, and nothing was transparent, so none of the meetings happened. I bring all this up because a lot of disclosure will be coming out about those here very shortly, and how basically they plan on taking the same girl and putting a different party dress on her, and yet having certain banks fall. Now, here's the thing. If certain tools, if a tool sector falls, all of it has to fall. You can't just say one of them is going to survive, sort of like that bad bank situation that the wonderful purported U.S. Treasury, our Timothy Geithner, supposedly thought of. And he was going to create a bad bank, put all the bad assets in it, and then leave the banks healthy. Right? And so there's a guy
that's fully transparent.
And so this all goes into, you have Basel III, which supposedly, Basel III was actually a tool. It's a BIS tool when the corporations were still lawfully and legally, well, let's just say they were existing purportedly lawfully and legally, and yet it just took a matter of one person recognizing they weren't and doing something about it. And so Basel III really was a matter of keeping things supposedly in ground, because there's nothing that they could actually pull out. It was always being pulled out and then gone, taken off planet. Okay. So for gold, silver, natural resources, everything else. So that was really a way for them to sort of have even more non-transparency. And actually one of the testers, the Basel III certified testers, I call him Dr. Death, Esegundo. I'll release some files within the bank trade and finance experiences that I had, so people can actually see and have transparency and context, more absolute context to what we're talking about with the value system versus a part of the value system that's been in a vacuum, okay? And so what happens is I would like to really go in and make sure that they aren't putting a different party dress on the same girl and then trying to tell you that it's something totally different. Okay, so what I would do is actually take those same documents that I was talking about on Project 13, and I would actually take them into a bank and say, I want to assist you. but we're going to do this transparently, and you're going to do it under the terms and conditions that I deem. Okay? In bank trade and finance, it was known in the upper echelons that you could just take a promissory note, secure it on the commercial registry, take those two documents in, and basically you loan money over to the banks. Now, the banks are required to convert that, because if they can't convert that, they're insolvent, which means they can't actually be open for business.
Yeah.
And so in 2010, I got a lot of calls because guys that were actually doing that and were within the system, were within the club, quote unquote, all of a sudden started having a really hard time. And couldn't,
that was me.
Yeah. Couldn't get their stuff monetized anymore or converted, really, is what it was. And so, like, in the U.S., they would issue what's called a 1099 OID, which is original issue discount. So, like, Heather goes in, does a promissory note, does a secured a security agreement, or not even a security agreement, but a registry, a notice of that value. And the bank would send that up to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve would have to account for the Federal Reserve notes that they would have to print off in order to convert that to Federal Reserve notes for me. Usually at a one-to-one, but they would do an actual discount, so they'd make money. So basically that 10% we always hear about, them getting 10% interest on any money that comes out of those, any notes that come out of the Federal Reserve. Well, that would be your discounts. So if I did one for $100,000, then, you know, $10,000, I'd get one for $90,000. $90,000 would be deposited in my account. And so it's kind of the same thing here. You go in and you just say, hey, I'll do this, but it should be value for value, and maybe those will be my terms. You know, give me $100,000. I'll deposit value. So here's my declaration of representation so that you know these are my representations, and it's something that your system can actually communicate with. And then I give them my declaration of value deposit, and I say, open me an account, and here is the value. So I don't even have to deal with central banks anymore. I don't have to deal with Federal Reserve notes because it's value for value. But if the bank feels more comfortable, that's fine. They can use FRNs.
Okay, we just
and
lost
yet
you.
They still
we
get
just
the promissory you. Note because the central banks and BIS ways, and so they would be able.
Wait, Heather, I'm gonna ask you to Heather, I'm gonna ask you to repeat that last.
Can you hear?
Yeah, repeat that last statement.
Okay, so I don't even know where that jumped off. Okay, so I would go into the bank and I would say, here's my declaration of representation. Here's my declaration of value deposit, what I'm willing to deposit into your bank. And here's all the underwriting. So I'd probably just use the OPPT underwriting for the $5 billion and the $5 billion until that was either gone or I don't plan on not doing anything. So I'm going to actually increase that value. However, I can go in and deposit whatever I want in there. Say, open me an account. Here's my underwriting. Here's my value. They don't even have to go to the Federal Reserve or any purported central bank because it is the actual value. But they, if they feel more comfortable converting it, and I know that the Federal Reserve notes are empty, so what I'm willing to do is just say, yep, I will take your funny money. I will take the paper, and I'll use it as a tool. But I know it's my value that's in that tool. So I will go ahead and underwrite that tool, but I get the use of it, and I determine the use that I'm going to use it for. And they have no say over how I'm going to use it, yet I am responsible for how I use it, because if I damage anyone, I'm going to end up paying someone in whatever tool that I have that's demanded by the damaged party. I am responsible for that. Okay, so here we have a very different scenario with the value system versus the financial system, yet the financial system is actually within the value system. It's just harmonized when it's in.
Here's a question. Here's a question that I know is going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
What if the bank chooses not to play with you?
Well, we're going to find that out, won't we?
Here's the thing, and I've discussed this several times, especially over the last 2 weeks. We know that we have an estimate at this point, and I'm lowballing this. There's an estimated 18 to 20 million people who know about the OPPT filings. right now. Now, let's just say that if even 1 million people take these and run with this, if even 200,000 people in the USA all walk in tomorrow to their bank and put this down on the counter and say, "Hi, I'd like to deposit some of my value, please and thank you." What do you think is going to happen? Even better yet, what if everyone gets together and they all decide, hey, let's all go to such and such a bank. And such a bank has, in a 12-hour period, like I say, 200,000 people all show up saying, guess what? We're going to deposit our value. All it takes is one bank to play. Because as soon as Lisa goes in and says, I went into the mom and pop bank here and they did it, every single person on this planet is going to be flying into Australia going, ha ha ha, we want to play too.
Well, here's the awesome thing. When you go in and they say no, they just prove that they are insolvent.
Yeah.
Because everything you're presenting to them are actually things that are in their system, and that's what their system ran on. So when they reject it and they say, oh, no, this isn't valid, this isn't this or that, they actually deem their own paper and their own system invalid because it's the same paper and it's the same stuff that you're doing.
So should you demand a rebuttal in response, in written form?
Yep. So if they can't rebut it, guess what?
Well, it doesn't matter if they reject it or they don't. Either way, it's screwed, okay, because they've just invalidated all their own paper. So they're watching this very carefully. So let's say you take the courtesy notice tool that had gone out, that Chris Hales, you know, talks about all the time. Well, here's what Ken and Scott Bartle, I love them so much. They went in and created this tool because Scott's gone through a lot of these experiences, right? And this is the tool that they came up with. What I loved about the courtesy notice, and before that, the OPBT at one point had used, had played around with what's called the pledge. So it's always kind of the same thing. And then I think Chris Hales talked about a bond and an oath, okay? I'm not hip on bonds. It's just bondage for me. It's just they forgot the AGE, right? And so for me, the courtesy notices were an excellent tool to go in and on one side show the former systems how awake the people were becoming. And I can tell you, all the countries were getting, well, not countries, the corporations operating under the guise of governments were freaking out. Now, they weren't going to show you that, but it started to come out, and all of a sudden purported collection agencies knew about the courtesy notices. People started to report the different kind of experiences and reactions that they were getting. It created a huge tidal wave because all of a sudden what was beautiful about it was it showed them how many people were not just awake, but they were being and doing. Mm-hmm. And because of the OPBT filings, which even if people don't understand what happened, the point was the systems did. And when you be and do, they can't be and do. They can't steal your being and doing. And then on the flip side, it was a great tool because it actually helped the people exercise their being and their doing muscles.
It was an excellent exercise in moving forward and taking charge and being accountable.
Right. So now at this point, what's beautiful is that I never did a courtesy notice. I will say that right now. I never did a courtesy notice. I did, during the investigations, toy around, play with, and actually experience certain mechanisms that were similar to it. And really, it was just a notice. But the stuff that's in the notice, all the compartmentalized points I had gone into experience. And so that's why I could recognize the tool Chris or Scott and Ken Bartle had put together. And I was really interested to watch how it actually went. And I did go over it and make sure that at least the OPBT filings were in there so that it wasn't just fluff they were bringing in. It was actually a beautiful mechanism. And so the thing is, though, is when it's time, when you decide what you really want to accomplish, the tools may change. They may not serve after a certain point, or they may evolve into something else.
Yep.
For me, the courtesy notice was great to watch you guys exercise and watch
the systems actually have notice of how many people were waking up around the world.
Australia was purportedly the last report from the intel guys was that Australia was freaking them out the most at that point.
Australians are rocking it, I'm telling you.
Well, you guys had so many movements, quote unquote, and that's what I never resonated with the fact that OVP was ever a movement. I only saw it as a tool. And yet, I think that the movement is the energy.
Yes.
Well, I'll call it a movement because it flushed out a whole lot of shit.
All righty then. So here's what I would like to say is that when, for me, this isn't about destroying things. This is about building. And this is about repurposing. So what I would like to do is I know certain plans, which is to basically have HSBC be a sacrificial lamb. And with that, because of the mergers that recently took place and the takeovers, is you have a lot of banks in there. Yet Deutsche Bank is supposedly the golden child, which is, you know, all the Austrian families and everything else. And they have Clearwire, which is basically like Euroclear?
Euroclear,
which is like a clearinghouse, a digital clearinghouse, and Swift. And basically Clearwire was Deutsche Bank, ABN AMRO, I think, or Deutsche Bank and someone else. And that's their in-house. So they don't even tell you that it's actually them. You have to do some digging to be able to find that out. So they have their hands in every single part of it, which means they can control the distribution. And if one bank is going to fall, legally and lawfully, all of them should fall. And what I'd like to do is you have such great people that have a lot of experience in that sector, just like accounting, law, education, medical. Just because someone's in a field that may have not been operating transparently doesn't mean the actual people within it are all bad.
No, of
course. Or all have intent. Okay, so what I would like to do is be able to go in and say, yep, I would love to have your expertise, your experience. I'm willing to pay you a service fee. And I'm actually willing to go in and venture with you. Let's go in and make some money. Let's go in and create. I don't even need to have them just act as a custodian, because why? I am the custodian of my value. But I would like to have some people to go play with. So if they're willing to play, I will go ahead and make sure that they have value in their bank, but they're going to do things transparently, and we're going to do it together so that I know every step that's being taken, and they can grow, and they can actually heal all the other intent that's been operating there.
So there you go, Gulliver. There's your offer on the table.
So you're suggesting at this point that everybody who chooses to go down this path by downloading this document tomorrow and visiting a bank visits HSBC?
Oh, well, no. I told you what I was going to go do is, you know, I'm personally going to go, and HSBC and I have not always had the best relationship. You can see in the Paradigm Report where HSBC, and there's investigations that I didn't put into Paradigm Report, which were Citibank, Pandit, and the Black Ops accounts, as well with the Villarreal, Marcos, things that were stolen by Ruben. And then you have Wells Fargo, which was under the guise of Macarizo, which was in Panama, a Panama shell company, and that's Knights to Malta. And all of that. And so that went all the way up to the directors. They brought in Switzerland. I didn't put those in because they were still pending at the time. And yet here I have Wells Fargo now that is basically HSBC, operating by the families. The old man's taking basically all the banks in and then basically going to let them die, which was part of the ferreting out plan, you know, the shaking it out. Like Swiss Indo is just a tool to ferret out all those with certain agendas. The old man sees, you know, a lot of the elders, a lot of people have been working on making sure this all ends. The experiment has ended and the interrupted purpose proceeds again. So I want to go in and I would like to have some fun. Those that want to have fun, great. I know that HSBC and I have not had the best relationship. I have no hard feelings with the maneuvers that they took, especially against my family, although breaking down the door with 10 armed men was a little
excessive.
Unnecessary with Loey, who was on chemo at the time and alone at home, very sick.
Somewhat over the top.
Just a bit. Yeah, it was, you know,
And then you had the whole Seattle PD and the test site for, you know, militarizing your police department. It was just, it wasn't a good thing. So what I would like to do is go in and clear the air and just say, and transparently, so everyone can see what it is I'm going to do. There's no questions, you know, they can see. And when I say there's no questions, I mean, I give the data and do the doing transparently. For instance, my Project 13 key will be made public. It'll just be made public so everyone can see, and I stand behind, and people know that whatever I post on there, I stand behind. I want everyone to be able to see and watch, you know, at that point. So what I would like to do is go in and say, HSBC, here we go. I know that it's a sacrificial lamb, but at the same time, it is not acceptable for me to have this pick and choose and put a different dress on the same girl. Now, the ferreting out tools have been awesome, excellent. And yes, that was a part of the absolute plan, was used to have the banks basically consolidate and then just, you know, have it ferret out who was doing what. What was it? Madame Wu was supposed to be the head of Wells Fargo, and then that got taken off the table. The minute that we started talking about Madame Wu, him being the head of Wells Fargo. So what I would like to do is just go in and say, let's go play. Let's just be creative. Let's be imaginative. And I'm willing to go ahead and repurpose things. And if things don't choose to be repurposed, that's okay too, because I'm just going to stand by their side as they walk out, as they cease to exist by their own choice. But at the same time, for me, this is what I know, for me, within, is that every perceived role played a part in making sure we got here. So for me, there is no bad or good. There is no evil or holy. There is just what is, which is eternal essence, having a simultaneous experience through many embodiments. There's no, you know, for me, there are perceived galactics, perceived angelic realms, and yet for me, it's all one density. So these are just what I know for me within. So I'm going to act accordingly. Why would I go in and try to destroy anything? I just want to make sure it's all transparent and yep. that it is everyone has access to the same transparency.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone can have fun as they choose. So that's what I'm going to be doing with Project 13, all of these instruments. I'll call them instruments or transmitting utilities or vehicles, written representations of who I am and what I do. And anyone who wants to play the same, or we can figure out a way that we can mutually play together, then great. I'm all for it.
So by the time...
Well, you know, it would seem to me that the banks, being that they have their ass in a corner right now...
and on fire.
It seems to me that the banks should be thrilled at the opportunity to play.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people have asked me all this whole time about enforcement, right? And with the value system being disclosed today, you'll be able to see in what I call enforcement, and it's about the energetics. So really, all the banks have not, they don't say boo without family approval, because there's only supposedly 13 families, but there's the guy or the energies, the embodiments behind them that actually manage them. So really, your families end up being the equivalent in bank trade and finance of a broker, right, or an agent. So what I really strive to do was to make sure that everything was transparent so that all the perceived roles were seen for what they were, roles.
Yep.
You know, we're either all one and I do and I say and I think one, or I'm just full of, excuse my language, bullshit. So I'm not there. I am there for all the perceived roles. I love playing with, as Diaz and all of you guys found out when you came to Morocco, the divines, I don't care if it's divines, and as I defined a divine, it's someone who sees himself as divine and requires something less than to support that role, right?
Right.
And so I don't care who comes before me, and I'm so willing to play, but it's going to be done transparently. And the results have always been wonderful and had a great experience, at least on my end. I guess it wasn't so fun for the others, but
you know, I had a great time, and I love each and every one of them, no matter what the perceived role is. So I'm going to go in and have some fun. Anyone who wants to have fun, let's do it, but let's do it transparently. I'll make sure that everyone has access to at least the value system and the tools, and at least the stuff that I know. And there's a lot of stuff out there that other people know that they're going to be bringing out as well. Why? Because you guys are willing to be and do, and you've already shown them that. That's what this whole December 25th onwards has been. You've been showing them, giving them notice that you guys are being and doing. And it's not the old adage that the families would use or that agents would use. You know, the people are stupid. The people are irresponsible. I have seen such beautiful responsibility, such beautiful intelligence, both what people would call spiritually and intellectually. It's just, it's gorgeous. I've had such the best time, and I really thank everyone with my eternal energy, my eternal love, peace, gratitude. I've had the best time, and I would love to have some more fun.
And at that, I think at an hour and 21 minutes, which was supposed to have been a 30-minute show. Oops.
Now, can I just ask one final question, though?
What was that?
Well, by the time we play this recording on tomorrow's broadcast.
Tonight for everyone else in North America and Europe.
What's going to be online and where is it going to be online?
I will have everything. We'll get all the everything that we've discussed. I will put out on Removing the Shackles in probably the next
When I get
10
it
hours
here,
or
it'll
so.
Be before the show.
Before the show, we will have it all online. It will be copied everywhere. We will have it going viral instantaneously. So American Kabuki will have it, and Kualapele, if we can get a hold of KP, and Brian, and everyone will.
Me,
and
5D Media, it'll be everywhere.
Media over there, absolutely. So I'm going to spend this afternoon while Heather's finishing up the last few bits and tidying up pieces, pulling together all the links so that people looking at this and hearing this for the very first time can go and click on the links and go back and see the original UCC filings and some of the original shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And what I would like to say is that because I don't, you know, public trust website, we took that down so that energetically everything could be closed and the words, the thoughts and the actions all were harmonious. So what I will say is this, is that I'm going to put these out on the iLogo, but these are documents that I am actually using. And that way people can just see an example. And they can recognize the documents for what they are in the former financial system. They can actually see those and recognize them from that system. And I really want people to make an informed choice, so I'm not telling anyone to go and do anything. Do what resonates within.
Yep.
But I will put the documents and the tools out that I know, that I've used, and that I know the value system to be, and then everyone dissect it, discuss it. Take it apart and figure out what is true for you using your tools of resonance within. Okay?
Work together.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Dee. Thank you, Bob. Is there anything else you want to say, Bob? You're welcome.
No, I'm excited. I'm ready to have fun.
No, me too. Let the games begin.
For the next show that we're gonna record, we'll have another call. You know, late tomorrow night for you there too, Lisa. We start talking about the big plans for the big doings, and that is going to be super exciting for this week.
Lovely.
Until then, I'm pretty much going to guarantee that I'm not going to be on the live show tonight, considering my track record for the last few weeks has not been very good of managing to stay awake that long. But everyone knows how to get in touch with me. I'm always around on Skype, easily to get a hold of. So we'll talk to everyone later.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Dee.
And we will talk to you all. Bye, love.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Please let me know in the chat room if you can hear us. Let me know if you're back.
I'm here.
You're there? Okay.
Yeah, it looks like they hear us in the chat room, too.
Wow, that was interesting timing. Right at the
end. Yeah. Perfect.
Indeed. Hello, everybody. Back.
Okay, now I haven't got the chat room happening for some reason. It's frozen. Mm-hmm. It froze very early on, so I have no idea what's going on in the chat room. So if you guys got it up, you've confirmed the chat room here.
Yep.
Lovely.
Yeah, everybody's good.
Okay. Back again.
Okay, so it looks like we're with Bob, and Bob was hosting the call. Seems to be what happened.
Yep, that's what they did.
Okay. Now, as I think what did go to air was Dee announcing that these documents would be first posted on her Removing the Shackles site, and from there we would grab them, download them, repost them, share them. But as yet, she hasn't been able to get them up. She's been trying frantically all night, her time, to do this, and they are having serious technical difficulties. So... keep your eyes posted on our Facebook pages and our websites, because as soon as these documents are available to us, they'll go online. Okay, what did you think, Chris? That was the first time you heard that.
Very, very good information. Really timely summary of everything that's taken place from the kind of background perspective, and neatly summarizing the way that they've actually shifted our attention away from our value, and mm-hmm. and then proceeded to create a debt system and basically, you know, do us in for a very long time. We're, you know, and I can see, you know, based on the information that Heather's given on the approaches, I can see that we can put together, you know, communication kits, things that we can walk into a bank with, and, you know, essentially call it a script, call it, it could be a PowerPoint presentation. It could be just some documents that you actually use while you're speaking as prompts. But information, and very much for the first wave of people that do this, to actually give you the right words to say, the right information to actually put to them. You know, for instance, Scott Bartle has a collection of quotes directly out of the Federal Reserve System bank documents. These are their annual reports and various other documents that literally state we monetize signatures. So if they give you any grief about, oh, what are you doing here just signing a piece of paper, that's not money, you just read it out to them. That's what they've been doing. And as Heather said, if they refuse this, they invalidate everything they've ever done. And, really, really exciting moment that we're actually in here, because we've been led through a merry dance for 6 months. It's been 6 months of intense education at every level, and we've gone through several different kinds of tools and learned to do all sorts of different things and how to stand in our space. And, you know, all roads lead to this point in time, this moment of now. And I really hope we can actually get this stuff in the next couple of days, because the banking system is probably preparing itself for us, and we need to go and tell them that we're their new partners. So I really like Heather's approach. We're not going in there to shut them down. We're going in there to, you know, gently, lovingly, willingly, and knowingly repurpose them. Yeah, and because we own the damn thing anyway. That's what it gets down. All of their shiny gear they've got out there that we need to use as a transaction system, we paid for that. So we're essentially going in and announcing that they have new partners, and we don't want to own them. We simply want to work with them.
And Brian, what about you? You also heard it for the first time.
Oh, wow.
What was your takeaway?
Well, there's so much to say. Where do I start? Well, I thought it was brilliantly shared by Heather D. And Bob and yourself, everybody that participated. I mean, it was a really good background. And, you know, there's some really good points that she made in there. One that stuck for me was, you know, the banks were designed in their
the way that they were set up to support these kinds of transactions. And hold on one second.
Sorry, I was already muted when he went and muted himself. Yeah, I mean, this is how the system works. It's how it's always worked.
Oh, sorry, I muted out. So my point was is that if they turn it down, which they will, let's just be honest with ourselves here, there's going to be some that will. I mean, and I'll talk about that in a second. It just shows it's the bank saying that they are insolvent. So if you have all of the data within these documents that show that their system was designed to support this process, this function, and then they don't support that process and that function, it's the same as going into your own bank and trying to cash a check from someone else to you, and then the teller saying, oh, I'm sorry, we don't do that here. Even though you have an account, you're in good standing, we're not going to honor your $10 check that somebody wrote to you. We're not going to allow you to deposit that into your account. Well, the person at the bank, the customer, you'd say, what do you mean? I'm a customer here. This is what you do. This is something that's always been done. I've never had any problems with it. There really is no difference between what we're talking about here and that as a scenario. But the thing is that the teller and even the officers of the bank and the managers of the bank, obviously they're not going to have any direct experience with this. In other words, it's going to be very hard to do. If you're going there, just like you do with courtesy notice, you go in and keep courtesy. You know, look at videos that Chase, Benny, and other people have gone out. The people that have had the most success with courtesy notices are the ones that did it with tax. With people that are just working in a job, they don't know how scandalous the 13 families have been. They don't know the background of what HSBC, the dirty dealings, and all the corporate, corruption, all these things that's happened. So you're educating these people, and they're going to take it up ladder, and they're going to take it to their manager, their supervisor, so on and so forth. But when you have a system that's the process that they undergo when something comes up that they're not used to, it's going to flood the system with. I mean, think about, you have all these thousands of people that are ready to bring these documents in, and I, like I said in the chat, it only takes one, not even 20,000, which is the number that Heather gave, just one bank to do this, and everybody's going to know about it because we're all going to blog about it, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like a snowball effect, and you know, everybody floods that bank, or everybody, you know, the employees that are working at some other bank, they find out about it. So God only knows where exactly it goes from here. But if people have these tools where it doesn't require them to go into their bank with a huge lecture, you know, to give a huge discourse. I mean, a lot of the people that listen to this call, a lot of people in the chat room, they might understand it well enough to understand it for them, but it might be really hard for them to explain it to somebody else, let alone try to explain it for the first time to get $100,000, whatever the amount may be. Thank you. So that's what's being prepared right now by Heather, and you know, I know a lot of people in the chat room, even though you just mentioned it, are asking where's the document. Well, they're working on putting it out right now. Hopefully we'll have it tomorrow. They're having internet issues, but there's obviously a lot of people. We had 460 some people in the chat room, and who even knows how many people listening live. So once it starts to, you know, infiltrate and flood into the system, you know, it's going to be amazing. I'm ready to go. You know, if I had this document, I would go myself, and I would go and do this, you know, do this tomorrow. But the system, one other point real quick, and I'll pass back to you. I know we only have 20 minutes left here, is that there's people in all phases of banking that all the way at the top that, believe it or not, want for this to go down.
Yes.
You know, Heather said it, and she's rubbed shoulders and had, you know, one-on-one discussions with these people that are like, you know, keep doing this, go, because they know that it's coming to an end, and they see, you know, they're able to see past the quote-unquote wall that, you know, was you know, like the Berlin Wall that was held so sturdy for so many years. It's now crumbling down, and they're realizing that it's time to have something new that's created, and they don't have anything to lose when the rest of humanity wins. When you tear away all the perceptions of what's happening here, no one has anything to lose in all this. Everybody has something to gain. When humanity wins as a whole, when we pull through this, there are no winners. There are no losers, really.
The limits are taken off everybody.
The limits are removed from everyone. It's a level playing field for everyone, no matter which phase of the heart, or which level of hierarchy you perceive yourself to be in, no matter how much money or how little money you're perceived to have, or what class you're lower, middle, upper, 1%, whatever it might be. Those people that are within the system that want this to go down, they realize that. That's the element of truth that they now realize. And that's why they're wanting for this to happen. And that's why it will happen. There isn't any ifs anymore. I want everybody listening to this to hear this. There are no ifs anymore. It's just whens now. And when I look in the mirror and ask myself when, the bold point font that I get back at me is now. This is going to happen. It's going to happen now. And it's up to everybody to go in with confidence and know that it doesn't matter what that person at that bank says. It's an energetic event that you're creating. You might have your first five banks look at you and go, I don't know what you want me to do with this. You don't walk out of that. Don't walk out of that bank defeated. Walk out of that bank empowered, because there's thousands of other people doing the exact same thing. And there will be a day where the impact, boom, hits in, and this thing all of a sudden now is out in the open, and we're on to some magical things that now come. This is just the first step. Think about all the implications on the back end of this happening. I mean, it's unprecedented. Words can't describe it. I'm trying to get them now, and I'm coming up blank because the options really at this point are endless.
Mm. One thing about this, Brian.
I made it back, guys.
Welcome back, Bob.
I apologize. I don't know. Well, apparently somebody said something that they didn't want to hear, because my Skype went down, and then when I tried to reboot Skype, then the router went down, and then I got the router back up, and then I couldn't get Skype to reconnect.
Hmm.
It's all good. We're back.
It's all good. Okay, look, just to add something to what Brian says, when we will obviously need to find the right people, find those people that Brian's talking about in the bank, and word will get to them as soon as we start this process.
So even if the person behind the counter, or you ask for the manager, and the manager looks at you like you've got two heads, from what I got out of that conversation is that I will just tell them to please take it up the line as far as you need to up your food chain, to get the appropriate response, and I'll be back in 72 hours, either for your written rebuttal with your full liability behind it, or I will be signing my application form for my account. Your choice.
Yes. Yeah, and the thing about it, you could say to them to pass it up the line, and I'm not sure whether you should put this in writing or not, it's something we need to think about and work on. If in this process you say, I will do this, and if you don't want to partner with me, I will to remove all my energy from your organization, and I will place it, where it is of benefit to me and the rest of humanity. And, that's a message that they need to get, because they, at the higher levels, they're thinking energetic. So they don't want people to pull their energy out of their particular organization. If they can, and someone said this to me yesterday, it's like going to a used car lot and talking to the dealer and having them put a whole lot of proposals to you, and then you say, nah, too much, and you walk out, and they chase you down the street. Okay?
I have already got an appointment with the vice president of my local community bank later this week.
That's it.
So that information is published. I would rather deal with someone at that level, because they're more apt to know.
The manager, you mean?
Yeah. Well, no, I went to the vice president.
Oh, the vice
the
president.
Senior vice
okay.
president.
So this is one of the reasons why Dee put the post out, what you did initially, was to get everybody thinking about getting organized. Do you want to go... I mean, do we want to pick a particular bank like HSBC and... globally, because they do have branches globally, and come at them with a peace offering of sorts.
Yeah. I see no reason why you couldn't do both, Lisa. It's just two appointments. And I think Bob's dead right. I'd go as high as you can get an appointment with as your starting point. If you can only get your bank manager, then start there. But you could say to them, hey, I've got an appointment with another bank to find out who wants to play, who wants to be a partner in this. And make the point to them, this is going to happen, and that the banks that cooperate will be the ones that survive.
It's just a matter of who says yes first.
Exactly.
And then the others become irrelevant. Yep.
Can you explain what the whole HSBC being the sacrificial lamb thing, do you understand what Heather meant by that, what she was talking about there? A couple of people have mentioned it in the chat.
I don't really understand the reasons why HSBC. Mm. But when she keeps referring to the same girl in a different party dress, what it sounded like to me was, in order to give the impression to the general public that the financial system is being overhauled, that we are winning, that things are changing, they take down HSBC. And along with HSBC goes Wells Fargo and all of the other holdings that it has.
Yeah.
So that they can, behind the scenes, present us with something else that, in Heather's terms, is the same girl in a different party dress. And this is why she sort of said, why she talked about the history that she's had. HSBC was mentioned quite a bit in the Paradigm Report. And if we choose to deal with HSBC en masse, then it's giving HSBC a leg out or a leg up or a handout or an opportunity to survive.
Yeah, well, if they're going to pile all the bad parts of the banking system into one bank and then dump the whole lot, it's a way of doing a clean out. But if we turn around and save HSBC, we've just ruined all their plans.
That too.
What people have to remember, though, too, on that note, is, you know, this is just one now tool. You know, this, as was the courtesy notice, one tool of many, and it's more of a bridge than anything else. Because what people need to realize, I really hope people don't try to, in the beginning stages at least, you know, put $1 million onto this declaration and bring it in and try to cash out $1 million or $1 billion or all $10 billion of the money that they can point to on those UCC filings, because what you're doing in that situation is you're just giving people, whoever it is that you're dealing with, you're setting it up to a situation where they don't take you seriously right out of the gate. And that's okay. I mean, if that's what you want to do, go for it. But the more money that it floods into the system, the more the system continues to self-perpetuate. And you don't, you know, that's not really necessarily the end goal. And
well,
so,
doesn't that depend on the terms and conditions that we apply to it too? I mean,
yes.
if we limit this to purely a transaction between us and them, they set up an account for us, we give them a fee, like she said, it used to be 10%, or it could be 10%. So I want $1 million, you can have $100,000, I'll get $900,000. And that's your commission or your fee for working with me and playing with me.
Mm-hmm. So it's a commission.
And limiting it to that, so they can't then take that $100,000 and turn it into another million and deal with it in the back rooms and do all the stuff that they do.
Yeah.
If we limit that.
This is going to be
I have to say that I don't see it that way, that it would reinvigorate the system, because I see that the more people that understand where their value is coming from, because when you start to do this, I know if I become successful at doing this, every single one of my friends, every single member of my family is going to do this. And how fast do you think that's going to go? And at what point do you think no one is going to turn to a bank and ask for a loan?
Mm.
And if the bank cannot loan any money, they are no longer a harvesting mechanism. They're only a transmission mechanism.
Yeah.
A transaction center.
And what ends up happening is that we transform them. And I'd just like to
exactly.
bring out one interesting fact. The practice of war on this planet is supported by the banking and insurance industries. There was a ship in, I think, the Russian fleet whose insurance was cancelled by the British and company that insures ships, whose name I've just forgotten. Someone will remember it. And it had to stop dead. It had to stop dead in the water. It couldn't move. Now, if we repurpose the banking system and we're all in full responsibility and liability, the insurance industry is gone. That means the war industry is gone. If we repurpose the banks, we'll probably stop all wars. There'll be no insurance because every soldier is insured, every tank is insured, every plane is insured, every ship is insured, and they don't move unless they've got insurance. It's part of the game. So we repurpose the banks, we'll generate an outbreak of peace. How about that for motivation, folks?
A peace outbreak.
A peace
oh,
outbreak.
Wow.
Oh, how bad would that be?
It sounds dreadful.
That's pretty intriguing to think about
Lloyd's,
the mechanism.
Lloyd's of London are the insurers we're talking about. And apparently every ship won't move unless it's got its insurance. Because, you know, someone sinks my battleship, I want to be able to collect on my insurance. It's the way they run the system. So if you're running in a system of full liability and not limited liability, because insurance stems from a limited liability system, we run in full liability, which is what it will transform to if everyone does this. Insurance disappears. You don't have to insure your car. If you have an accident, you'll buy a new one and you'll buy one for the other person if it was your fault. No insurance. It's gone. So all the insurance companies will actually simply, and that's probably one of the people who are most upset about this particular call, it's the insurance industry. Because if the banking industry is transformed, it goes too. And that the flow-on effect, as I say, will cause an outbreak of peace.
Yeah.
And that'll be done by us acting as individuals, asserting ourselves, standing in our space. Sorry, Brian. Jump in, mate.
Yeah, no, it's all really good points. I mean, this everything that was shared in that call and what we've been talking about is so beyond empowering. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're in the chat room and you don't feel empowered, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I still love you. I love you, and I won't judge you, but there's something wrong. And, you know, maybe you need to go take an underwater basket weaving class or something along those lines. But the reason why I say this is not to make a joke, but, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And everybody that's listening to this call, all joking aside, because I don't want to come off as judgmental because I was just trying to get a laugh out of everybody. But all joking aside, everybody that's listening to this, you are all now empowered as agents of change. You are now way showers. It doesn't matter what your family says. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter how many people call you crazy. None of that matters. Let it all go because it all starts with you. Stand in your own power and in your own truth. And know that where you stand is at a place of total resonance with who you are in your core being. Because it's you that now get it. Everybody else doesn't quite understand it yet. Everybody else is still learning. They're going to look to you for answers. When you make this thing happen, you are setting the way. You are now an official way shower. Stand in that empowerment, and don't let anything waver you from knowing that you have everything you need inside of you at every moment, and other people's opinions of you, while they may now call you crazy, they'll one day in the very near future, they'll be calling you a hero, and they'll be asking you how to do it, and you're going to be able to share it with them. So don't let other people, don't let responses or anything else get the best of you. Go for it, knowing that you're doing the right thing and knowing that you're an agent of change, and do it with love and peace in your heart and hold that space. And don't let anybody shake you because you're right, and this is right, and this is all part of the absolute plan. So, you know, wake up. It's here. It's time to get to work.
Yay, Brian. Thank you. Well said.
Rant number one. I had to get a rant out.
Bob,
and
it
was
your
a really
turn,
beautiful one. Thank you.
Actually, Lisa, too much male talking.
Mark,
give us some feminine.
Mark, you're a dork.
I'm still absorbing. I mean, I had that conversation last night, and I'm still taking it all in. Even though, in one respect, there was nothing new. And, you know, if you've been down this road, if you've been down on this, even just on the OPPT path for the last 6 months, a lot of it wasn't new, yet it was put together in such a beautifully concise, succinct way that I'm still soaking it in. And yes, Brian, I feel completely empowered. And I am so proud of each and every person who has been a part of this. From, you know, the very beginning, prior to even Heather coming on board with the One People's Public Trust, those people who were behind it before she came on board, those people that led and assisted with breadcrumbs on showing them where to go and where to look, those people who are within the system who have supported their work and got them to the point where they made those initial filings back in July of last year. And to each and every one of you who saw this go live back in December and knew in your heart that this was it, I'm just so proud of each and every one of you. And I'm really, really moved. And this is the phase two that I was referring to the other week. And you can feel how creative it is. You can feel the creative energy. You can feel the dreams. You can feel the anticipation of life starts now. And I love it. I'm just soaking it all up. And we have 90 seconds to go. Yeah, so any last words from the boys?
Bob?
I just want to say that, I mean, echo everything that Lisa said, but God, it's going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
It's going to be so much fun. I mean, just imagine all the doing that we can do.
And will do.
And will do, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what tomorrow's call, the collective imagination, is likely to be about tomorrow.
It's the doing tomorrow.
It's the doing.
Yep, great stuff. Look, I'd just like to echo Lisa's sentiments. It's an honour and a privilege to have you guys as an audience and as supporters and do it and be ears in all of this. And just look forward to whatever it is that happens next, because it's looking really, really exciting. Really exciting.
Yeah, all of us in Bashar's folder high excitement is really
significant. Keep an eye out on the 5D Media Network and
we're breaking up really bad. Perfect coming on the giving it to you guys, HSBC, whoever you are listening. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.